We're going to get started, and I just cannot see how I will finish this lesson, saying I've shorted myself by 10 minutes, so we'll just get as far as we can, and then pick up next week wherever we leave off. So last week was the ideal, right? We discussed parenting a child and capturing their heart, and it was so easy, right? It sounded so nice and easy. And then all of you were sitting there thinking, but what about my child? I've got that hard-hearted one. And we all have at times had that hard-hearted one. You know, it's not enough. I mentioned that. It's not enough that we raise productive members of society or good citizens or good church attenders. None of that is the goal. Our role is to reach the heart. And reach their heart, meaning that they love the Lord with their heart, and they're displaying that to those around them. And so too often, I think a key issue here that we're going to get into this week and then next week is communication. Communication, our communication is often limited to rules, correction, and punishment. However, the Bible actually speaks more of encouragement, entreaty, instruction, gentleness, patience, peace, right? A lot of those are fruits of the Spirit. And if we're honest, we don't always display the fruit of the Spirit in our parenting. And so in this passage that we're going to look at, we're going to emphasize consistency. I want you to just start with me. We're going to go to two passages. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the greatest parenting passage probably in the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament, and then we're going to get to one in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Actually meant to end last week with this passage. We didn't quite end with it, so we're starting with it. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All right, so the statement, this is called the Shema, this passage, the statement, "Hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And look at the context. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts." Oh, that's so well with what we talked about this morning. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorstep of your house and on your gates." Notice what he said in the beginning. This is to come from the heart. And how does that happen? It happens with communication. Look how much communication there was in these few verses. Notice what he said. "You will teach them to your children." So there's instruction. "You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You shall talk of them when you walk by the way. You shall talk of them when you lie down at night. You shall talk of them when you rise up." And we know this to be true, especially if you have small children. When you're raising your small children, from the time that they're able to understand and begin to communicate with you, you're talking all day with them. You're instructing all day. Everything is a teaching moment, right? You're constantly in this mode where I am to instruct them, I am to aid them, I am to teach them. And then as they get older, that instruction time becomes a little bit more precise, more developed, but it also becomes momentary. And so all of this applies in this passage in Deuteronomy. Well, I want to ask you in this passage, what is being communicated? And I want you to answer me. What's being communicated? Instruction of what? Of loving God. Instruction of the truth of God. Right? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall write these things upon your heart." They should be a part of every aspect of your life. It is the word of God that is being taught here. The truths of God. Who God is, what he's done. Psalm 119, 105, a great passage. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the instruction that we need of God's word for the everyday footsteps that we take, the things that we're doing. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's that word again, heart, that was used in Deuteronomy. And so does this mean that we all day long quote scripture at our kids, right? They did something right, smack them over the head with scripture. They did something correct, reinforce it with scripture. It's not that we're just quoting Bible verses at them all day long. But we are instructing their hearts. We're using the word of God, the truth of God, to instruct them. And we don't want our children to merely act Christian, behave Christian. We want the truth to change them. We want them to absorb the truth of the Bible as their worldview and the principles of of God's word to govern their lives. We want it to be the primary means by which God will elicit change in them. And we lose sight of that, which is, I think, why Deuteronomy, this command is given, do it when you rise up, do it when you're walking down the road, do it when you're sitting at table in your house, do it when you're going to bed. All through the day, there should be moments of spontaneity where we bring our children and their heart back to the truths of God. That's our job. And so communication is the key. And if we find our efforts are falling short and we're not capturing their heart, or we find that our child is exhibiting a hard heart and they're frustrated and they're bitter and they're rebellious, what do? Communicate the truth of God. That's what will change them. Your nagging won't change them. Your rules will not change them. The word of God will change them. The truth of God. And so let me illustrate this with a simple fact that I think is really important. A scientific study reveals that the average two-year-old speaks around 250 words. They have a vocabulary, we could say, of around 250 words. And they use those words, right? We all know it starts off, most often, with no, right? And the rebellion is clear. The same study was done, and the average three-year-old speaks, in general, 1,000 words. So in 1 year, there's a fourfold growth in their ability to communicate. That's a pivotal time, right? We call it a foundational year. It's one of the foundational years. This fourfold leap in their ability to communicate often will start to reveal their heart. And so parenting, it's a monologue, but it's also a dialogue. And I want you to keep that in mind. Too often, our parenting is more monologue than dialogue. And obviously, with a two-year-old, it's pretty much monologue. But by the time we have a 12-year-old, it should primarily be a dialogue. That's how their heart is going to be captured. And so as they grow, the number of words increases. And just ahead of the teenage years, they become standoffish, right? At times, reclusive, moody. I've often heard of parents joking, and I understand this, that when you have a teenage, right, when they're a child, they don't stop talking, some of them. They're just nonstop talking. This last week, I'll give you a little humor. This last week, my wife and two of my daughters were away for the whole week. And we found anew that Titus talks at dinner. And he said, the first night, it's just Abby and I and him. And he's like, I can actually talk at dinner now. And last night, they were back. He just ate. Now, Now he does talk, and actually Titus talks more than the average boy, I think. But it's kind of an illustration. The girls like to talk, and they talk about all the same things every night, but we talk about it. And I found there's something that happens when your child becomes a teenager. Often they don't want to talk until about 10 o'clock at night, and then they want to talk. And what do? Because at 10 at night, I mean, usually at 9 at night, I'm ready for talking to cease, and I want to go to bed. And all of a sudden, you find that your teenagers, that's when they have all the great questions of life, and they want to discuss them. You know what you do in those moments? Most of the time, what you should do, discuss them. They're ready. They want to know. Of course, we don't always do that. Often, I say, we'll talk about that tomorrow. And then what happens, you know, we don't talk about it. Because they're like, oh, never mind, I'm fine. Right? That's what you get. And so I want to just talk today about communication, and communication specifically to the hard heart. If you would, you know it, but if you'd like to turn, actually, I would like you to turn there to Ephesians chapter 6. And we get this biblical basis for obedience from Ephesians 6. I mean, I don't know about you, this was one of the first verses my children memorized, this in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother. That was the first verse they learned. I mean, listen, a two-year-old can memorize those words, honor thy father and thy mother. The second verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't stop there. For this is right. That's the second verse every one of my kids learned. It's a good verse. It's a command for children, right? It's a general command. It's basic. It's straightforward. It's meant so that children could understand that. What is right? What is righteousness? To obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't contain any exceptions, extra rules, except for two qualifiers. And I want to look at those two qualifiers. The first, both of them, I'll reword them, obey and honor. Obey in the Lord. The parents' orders are to reflect the Lord's values. And so even in this command that's given to children, there's actually a command that's given to parents. Because parents, you'd better make sure that your orders, the obedience that you're asking your children, is in accordance with the Lord. And so we need to make sure that that's what we're obeying. We're representing the Lord. And we really are. Parents need to make sure that they're properly representing the Lord. And children should give complete obedience as their parents represent the Lord. Now, can a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old explain that properly? Probably not, right? To them, their parent does not necessarily represent the Lord. And the reason is they're learning their parents in that time period, and they know their parents are sinners too. Children are so observant, they're just quiet about it. Adults are less observant and less quiet about it. And children observe and they watch and they know. And then the second qualifier for this is right. This is right because it's honoring. It's in accordance with the Old Testament law. It's in accordance with Deuteronomy 5. It's in accordance with Exodus 20 verse 12. And so that's actually what's being quoted in verse 2. Ephesians 6 is 2 is quoting Deuteronomy 5:16. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue is given all these rules of what is right. Honor the Lord. Don't have idols before the Lord. Keep the Sabbath. And he gets to this one, this fifth one. Honor your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. And yet it's one that is with promise. By the way, the promise is long life, that you may live long on the earth, to live a rich, valuable life on this earth. However, I want you to keep reading with me because the kids are not in here. Okay, that's your job. Let me put that right there. That's your job. Instill that in your children's heart. You instill that in their heart, and you have won as a parent. But now we have other rules, or not rules, I hate to say rules, other verses. Because Paul, in writing Ephesians under the direction of God, gives us one more verse that's really important. Keep reading. Verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We could say, do not exasperate your children. Make sure that you're bringing them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And so I want to ask you a question. Why fathers? Why doesn't it say fathers and mothers, do not exasperate, do not provoke your children to wrath? Very simply, for the same reason that Adam was punished in the garden. He was responsible for communicating the truth of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of evil to his wife, and he did not do it. And fathers, your job is to be the primary spiritual leader in the home. That's why the command is given to fathers. And when a father leads the wife and leads the children right, they will learn these things. And so we're given this command. The father, it is your responsibility to set the direction for the family. And the importance of keeping the heart the focus. This verse is not saying, fathers, do not joke around with your children. I've heard that said. Fathers, you shouldn't joke and frustrate your children to respond because you're teasing them. Okay? That is such a pathetic and low understanding of this verse. Can that be wrong? Well, yeah, of course that can be wrong, to tease your children and wound their spirit. That is wrong. But that is a really low quality, poor interpretation of what's being said here. Such a low standard. The standard here is you set the spiritual direction for the family, and you'd better lead in doing it. And if you lead in doing that, your children will learn to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. So lead. It's amazing how quickly we go from this great command for children to right to the father. And think about our society and how off our society is. Our society is missing this in an atrocious manner. And that falls at the feet of the father. That also falls, by the way, at the feet of the mother. Because by default, there's commands here for the mother to follow the father in the spiritual direction that he's setting. And so we're given this command. And the importance, and here's what I'll end with this, and we'll pick up where, next week where we're leaving off. The importance of this is the heart. It goes back to Deuteronomy, to that Shema, that great passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I ask you, fathers, parents of fathers, I ask you, mothers, are you leading in doing this? Are you communicating? Is your communication one that reinforces the Shema here, this command? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. You have a hard-hearted child. Yes, we all do at times. Maybe you have an especially hard-hearted child. Can I challenge you? Make sure you are pursuing Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. That you're loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that is the single greatest thing you are communicating to your children in the everyday aspect of life. That's your job. And man, is it hard. And so we'll pick up next week talking about obedience, this willing submission, and how we can display that. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And I know the time is short, but We thank you for redeeming even this time that we had to focus on this one central truth. And I know that every one of us in here, we already knew this. This is not a new truth, but it is a reminder. It even makes me think of Israel. You gave them this truth at the beginning of their wandering, before the nation was ever established in a land. You gave them this truth. And how many times throughout the scripture you have reminded them of this truth, but they forget it, and we forget it. We get so busy. We get so distracted that we forget this singular goal of loving you with our heart and demonstrating that to our children. Lord, I pray for the fathers of our church that this would be our drive. And we would realize whether our children are 2 or 20 or 40, it is still our role to spiritually reinforce these truths in their life. We thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that you would bless this day as we consecrate it and devote it to you. The time that we have even at home, and the time when we return to give you praise again, Lord, that it would honor and glorify your name. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.